Please turn into the Scriptures to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 13. Preaching this Lord's Day will be taken from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 13. We'll read the whole of the chapter. Judges chapter 13, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again, and as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not there. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day had just now appeared to me.' So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Manoah said, Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe.' Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering, and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened, as the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord has desired to kill us, he would have not accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor will he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mithna Dan, between Zorah and Eshtal. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts this day. Well, congregation, for various reasons, the word covenant or federal is a misunderstood term today. The word federal is critical not only in our culture, but also theologically or biblically. For example, we have a federal government, and by that word federal, we mean the word covenant. It comes from the Latin word named foedus, which means covenant. In the scriptures, this covenant relationship between God and man is absolutely essential, symbolized in the covenant in marriage or in home. A covenant relationship with God and home is central to our faith. As Christians, we should set ourselves to understand the meaning and necessity of the biblical covenants, especially the covenant at home, which is so essential to our covenant relationship and friendship with God. So the covenant that we have with God personally through regeneration is a taste of other covenants in the Scriptures, particularly as we center upon the covenant home this Lord's Day. While it is the primary responsibility falls upon the parents to raise their children in the Lord, as we have seen in our text, and in the covenant given to Abraham, and also reiterated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It is secondarily the responsibility of the church to provide teaching of the responsibilities and obligations set upon the covenant home. Again, the primary responsibility of teaching our children falls upon the parents, not the church. But the church does have a secondary responsibility to preach and to guide and to direct on just exactly what a covenant is and what a covenant home ought to look like. Our subject today addresses this issue of the covenant home. Our subject is taken from the words of verse 12. It is found in Manoah's question. "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" Interesting question that he asks. In this question, with the obligation as covenant parents, they were prayerfully asking God, by what standard shall they raise their child? This is an important question. It's an important question for us today as well, as we seek to raise and nurture our covenant children. By way of application, we want to answer the question, by what standard are you raising your children? Lord willing, we want to answer this question from our text by addressing three specific points. First, the divine calling. Second, the eternal standard. And then third, the Christ-centered home. So first, the divine calling. Second, the eternal standard. And third, the Christ-centered home. First, it is our divine calling to willingly and eagerly be covenant parents. This must be our calling. If we are to be parents, we must receive God's gift of covenant children no matter the time, and no matter of the circumstances. This is God's will. This is what is meant by the words in verse 12. Now let your words come to pass, or better, when your words come true. In other words, even in the midst of physically burdensome time, and in the midst of national apostasy, Manoah and his wife were eager to take on the responsibilities of the covenant home. Remember, from verse 1, for 40 years God disciplined Israel for the rebellion against him by means of the Philistines. Manoah and his wife took on their divine calling with regard to their children seriously, and they took that divine calling within a terrible time to have children, humanly speaking. And this has great application for us as well. Abraham was given a divine calling to raise up generations in the covenant. And Manoah knew that. He had been taught that. That it was a divine calling according to the Abrahamic covenant to raise up generations as the stars of heaven, or like the sands of grain upon the seashore. This was God's promise. This was God's calling to his people. This has great application for us today. As God's people, parents have a divine calling to order, regulate the lives of their children according to the principles established by God's Word, as we are told in Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6. Furthermore, from this text, we also learn the necessity of fulfilling our calling even in bad or spiritually unhealthy situations or times. Just as there was in the days of Manoah, there is today an ongoing spiritual famine in culture and in many churches. Maybe it is one of the parents. There is a spiritual famine in the heart. Just as there was in the days of Manoah, there is today an ongoing spiritual famine. Yet in the midst of such circumstances, our attitude should be like Manoah, which was to receive our covenant children as precious gifts from God. And not say, oh, no, today's too bad. It's a wicked day, and because it's a wicked day, we shouldn't have children. May that never be said of us. Today our covenant families have great struggles because of our culture, because of the climate of lethargy in the church. Many are abandoning true Christian principles as well as in the church for easy believism or a reductionist type of theology. It's horrible. A reductionist theology is nothing more than to reduce the faith all the way down to a common denominator, and then that's what we preach, that's what we teach. Oh, how popular that is today. Technology, with all of its modern gadgets, is leaving no room for a quiet meditation upon God's Word. And most tragic, the de-emphasis on a time of covenant worship at home. You see, you will not have a vibrant covenant home if you do not have a time for covenant worship at home. Those two go together. That's why the Reformed faith and Presbyterianism, but particularly the Reformed faith, the Dutch Reformed side of the Calvinistic tradition, has always emphasized that there be worship at home. That there be a time set apart when the children are at home and they are brought together under the authority of the Father to read the Word of God and to pray not only for the family, but for the concerns of the church, and for ways in which the children can grow up in the truth of the gospel. Technology has pushed that out a little bit. We're all too busy running to and from. What a horrible thing it is as our culture begins to separate itself from the basic standards of Holy Scripture, that the family is so tore up today. And one of the reasons for it, if not the greatest reason, is because of a lack of home worship. If you have a home that's divided, then the responsibility is still upon the believing parent to sit down with their children and to give them the truth of the gospel. Congregation, biblical prophecy states quite clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that in the latter days there should be a falling away from the necessity and seriousness of the covenant home, as described in those verses and in other verses like 2 Timothy chapter 3. Mike Manoa, let us take our divine calling as parents to raise up a godly seed seriously, with great passion, so that the kingdom of God extends from generation to generation. A second, the standard or rule by which we are to raise our covenant children is the Word of God. That's the standard, that's the rule, is to raise up our children in the truth of the Word of God. With the divine calling sealed in the heart, there is still a greater concern practically on the part of Manoah and his wife. This deep-rooted concern is what shall be the manner of life, the rule, the standard that is required to raise the child. We don't want to just raise the child. We want to impart a standard, a rule. Manoah's deep-rooted and emotional concern is not whether or not it is his responsibility to manage the life of the child, for this is presumed in the question. His concern is how, by what standard, is one to manage and teach his children or child. The angel of the Lord in verse 3 directs Manoah and his wife to the Nazarite vow, which is further explained in verses 13 through 14, with particular emphasis on consecration, or being separate from the world to the Lord. From this we learn at least two critical points about the nature of the covenant home. First, covenant parents must be prayerfully teachable. Notice that Manoah's question is a prayerful request for guidance from the Lord. Since the words of verse 8, then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you've sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Manoah has no presumption that he knows everything, but is in great need for instruction. This is the heart of all covenant parents, to rely upon God for the ability to raise their children. This is the heart of a true covenant parent, that they learn to bathe all things in prayer and to remain teachable in the ways of the Lord by means of the Word of God. Parenthood is an awesome responsibility, difficult from one end to the other, with challenges. And if a parent is humble before the Lord, he reaches out unto the Lord and he says, Lord, teach me. Give me the ability to set a good example before my children, because I don't have it by nature. I need it by your grace and for your glory. O Lord God, teach me. Help me. Help me to be prayerfully teachable to your word and submissive to your word. Second, Covenant parents are to teach the law of God. The Lord God gives His law to us so that we can teach our children, so that we can manage their lives correctly, righteously, and justly. The law of God answers the question, how can we direct the ways of our children's hearts and actions? Note that the Nazarene vow is mentioned in the text, which was a vow of consecration or dedication or separation from the world to the Lord God. From his birth to his death, in verse 7, Manoah was informed that his child must be separated to the Lord for preparation for divine service. Isn't that something? What a truth. That Manoah, you've been given this gift of a child. To raise up this child to be separated from the world to the Lord God for preparation of divine service. The Nazarite vow was above all things an outward demonstration of separation from the world and consecration to the Lord by means of the law of God. Covenant parents must order or rule or manage their home, especially their children, by means of the law of God. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, along with the totality of Scripture, are the standard for both life and faith, holiness, as the Psalm declared, upon your law I meditate day and night. When questions arise in the home as to what standard the home is governed, we must point ourselves and our children to the law of God for the standard of devotion and holiness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult calling. But Manoah knows that unless he has a standard that's ordained by God as established in Scripture, there is no hope. So when our children come home and ask the question, why do others do this or that, but we cannot? We must point them to the law of God, to their consecration to the Lord God. Without the law of God as an objective standard, there can be no rule in civil society. We call that chaos. Or in the home. When the world is wondering about its own filthy stench, when the world is wallowing in its own filthiness, then we can claim the words of the psalmist, how I love your law, O Lord. So then, congregation, we reject outright, without reservation, the world's philosophy to let our children formulate their own standards. We reject the philosophy of public schools that say that the teacher is to set the standard. And that's exactly what they're doing. We reject and we condemn to let our children learn on their own, by their own. We condemn that teaching. The Lord God has directed all believing parents to teach and model according to the Word of God. We don't let the Canaanites teach our children. What a horrible situation it is when so many parents are neglecting the worship that is absolutely necessary at home. Well, lastly, though, a covenant home is a home that has our Lord Jesus Christ as its first love and the glory of God. It is only then that we are able to let our light so shine that they glorify our Father in heaven. And this is where a lot of parents really fall here. They want to teach their children and model it before their children with a stick in their hand. And they say, this is what the law of God says, and that's what you're going to do. And how many children rebel against that? That's not the teaching of Scripture. What kind of love is that? We notice throughout the text we find Manoah and his wife seek the guidance of the angel of the Lord. This is the pre-incarnate second person of the Holy Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, the title, the angel of the Lord, points to the work of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, note the words in verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? This again describes not only the work of the angel, but also his divine character. The word translated in verse 18 as wonderful points to our Lord Jesus, who is called Wonderful Counselor in Isaiah 9:5. Again, in verse 22, both Manoah and his wife recognized that they stood in the very presence of the Lord, who was the pre-incarnate second person of the Trinity. You see, while we order our children's lives according to the law, yet the law does not justify and cannot save. Only Jesus brings us grace and truth. Only Jesus consecrates us for divine service by His grace and for His glory. The Lord drives us away from ourselves into the arms of Christ's righteousness in the gospel. Our call as parents is to point our children to rest in Christ by faith alone, not by mere law obedience. We want to win our children's hearts. We want to win them, and we want to win their hearts to love Christ, to treasure Him as the precious pearl that He is. And the standard that we use is the law, to break our children down with regard to their sin and to lift up Christ. Just as the angel of the Lord brought strength to endure the fight against worldliness, so does Christ's Spirit give us the ability to strive in obedience. You see, young people, your parents have been entrusted with a divine calling to raise you in the fear of the Lord, to make you fit for divine service of the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in true thanksgiving, in true faith in Jesus Christ. What a tremendous calling. I met with Rahat and Maria this past week. I wanted to make sure that they understood their covenant responsibilities. I wanted to make sure that they understood that the water here does not save a soul, that only Jesus saves. And I wanted to make sure that they knew that this covenant community here, Covenant Reformed Church, stands alongside them as they raise their children and share in the love that we have for little Abram. What a tremendous gift to belong to a faithful church and to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Parents, by divine command, are not only to regulate the outward life, but also the inward life of faith, so that you would personally lay hold of the covenant promises. You need to do that. The promises that were here declared before all of you as a congregation. You need to lay hold of those promises by faith. This is not the ideal, but the reality burned into our hearts by the Spirit and the Word. May God be so pleased to give us strength as parents, to give us strength as a congregation. May the Lord be so pleased to bless little Abram and to bless our children in this church and to bless this church with a true and genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we look at the covenant home and we see Minoy here struggling. Well, all true parents struggle in their calling. We struggle to have time. We struggle in what to do and how to do it. But we know, Lord, that you would give us your grace that takes away all the trepidation. And it helps us to realize that our divine calling is real. And so, Lord, we pray for the parents in this congregation that we would raise our children in a covenant home and present to our children those obligations that they receive the truths of the covenant in true faith and resting upon Jesus Christ. O Lord God, bless our young people. Bless our congregation. Bless our singles. And bless our members, Lord, with the truth of the gospel. And help us to receive Christ by faith. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.